is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you guys for hanging out and watching and listening. Davin's Den. Joe and Pip are joining yours truly, Davin, and hanging out with you, of course. An off-script little rant here. I can't with people anymore in this COVID. I can't with them anymore. So I wasn't going to talk about it, but I saw this news article, and then I read something that's going on in my town. So very quickly, I guess the cruise lines are going to be starting up in July. I think in July. June or July. They're going to be. So now Florida is going to make a law where the cruise lines can't demand that you're vaccinated before you board. So now it's recommended. So Florida's making that law. So fucking helpful, Florida. Fine. Stupid enough. And you know what? Forget about the passengers. It's not fucking fair to the crew. And you know, everything spreads on a cruise ship. Yeah, I mean, if you get diarrhea, you're wiping out the promenade deck. I mean, Jesus Christ. Even in the best of times, a cruise ship is not the place to be if you have a weak immune system. Pip would die at the buffet table on a cruise ship. Not from the eating, just from the listeria. Pip would pick it all up. So that's that. So then, I don't understand this, but in New York, I don't know why they're not letting the fucking kids graduate on like an outside football field. I mean, they're opening everything up. We got like a very high vaccination rate, but the state's not doing that. I guess, you know,
until it gets to 70%.
I think we're at 70%,
right? Which I think is overreaching on Cuomo's part.
Whatever. Everything's fucking open up. Everything is opened up. So they won't let them do that. So they were going to do, I was just reading part of the article. So the school was going to do like 3 or 4 graduations, which is fucking ridiculous too. But really, it's about the kids. Whatever we can do for the kids. So they were going to do that. So then, I guess the town or people in the town or parents, I don't know, that was too much work. They weren't willing to make sacrifices to do the 3 or 4 graduations for the kids. You motherfuckers. Really, it's the last year we're going to be putting up with this shit. So then they come up with a proposal where I think, if I'm reading right, they can fit everybody on the football field. If the vaccinated people are separated from the non-vaccinated people, because you can pack the vaccinated people in quickly enough. Okay. Seems like something to do. So then they get 250 fucking signatures that don't like that idea of separating people. You fucking people are so fucking selfish. It's just so selfish. Just let the kids have their anything. It should be whatever it is, so we can make this special for the kids. We'll do it. It really should be that way. But oh, because I'm an anti-vaxxer or there's a chip. Donald Trump fucking pushed the vaccine, you dumb motherfuckers. He pushed it until he didn't push it. I don't know why he didn't push it more, but he was the one who did the warp speed. They like to pat their back and say, thank you, President Trump, for Operation Warp Speed. Yeah, he said we could get the vaccine done. It was his fault. Do it for Donald Trump. Do it for Trump. Trumpy wants you to die. I can't with these fucking people. Joe, they don't even listen to their God when they should listen to their God. Trump is. Why aren't they listening to their God, Joe? They want to give him credit for the vaccine, but they don't want to take the vaccine.
Well, it gets to the point right now where they're trying to get, you know, I mean, they're giving prize money away. They're giving it. I mean, you know, when Jonas Salk came out with the polio vaccine, he wasn't there with fucking lottery tickets.
Because we're morons. I was just talking to my, you know, I have friends all over the world, as you guys know. So I was talking to a friend of mine in Europe, and they got, she's a first responder. She got vaccinated early. And now, now her daughter is dating a fella, I think at 19 or 20 years old. He has COVID-19. And like she got vaccinated in March, my friend. I'm like, well, you guys haven't rolled out the vaccine yet? They're like, no, they haven't rolled out the vaccine. So it goes to Joe's point. We're fucking bribing people. We have to give you a chance to win a car, a chance to get a gun, a chance at $1 million. I entered a lottery to get my daughter a free education for the kids if they get vaccinated. There's like five free rides that New York State's doing if you do it SUNY. I answered it. She was going to get the vaccine anyway. She got the first. She got her second shot the other day. She got the first one before they pushed it up. But yeah, Joe, it just goes how freaking ridiculous we are as a nation. We have to give you stuff to. We have to bribe you to save yourself and grandma. That's what we have to do. It's. I can't with this fakakta nation, Joe. Help me. I understand they hate lefties. I understand they hate science. I understand they hate Biden. I understand all that shit. But Donald Trump's the one who said we're going to get a vaccine. Donald Trump's the one who came up with Operation Warp Speed. I give him credit for that, not for distributing the vaccine, but for coming up with it. When everybody said it couldn't be done in a year, Donald Trump said it can be done in a year. Listen, a broken clock is right twice a day. Donald Trump nailed that one. Now, he would have liked it before the election, I understand. Science didn't work that way. If he come out in October, maybe he wins the election. It's very possible. But Donald Trump's the one that said we're going to get these vaccines. Why are all these fucking, all these Trumpers not taking the vaccine and making a big stink? Like if you take, well, we're going to get to a story soon enough, but if you like take a vaccine, you're anti-American. I can't. He was the one, Joe.
Well, I do this whole new segment in my act. I go, yeah, I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And people are going, aren't you worried that it could kill you? I go, I'm a type 2 diabetic with an AC1 of 10. I go, the vaccine's not going to kill me. Twinkies are. I don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah. Listen. I know as a Jew I'm supposed to be against concentration camps, but it's time to round up the stupid. I can't. You're holding us back. I'm not talking about a difference of opinion. A difference of opinion is fine. This show is based on a difference of opinion.
That's very thinkest of you.
Very what of me?
Thinkest. You're against the people that don't think.
I am. I'm an anti-thinkite.
Well, you know, also you have to take the opinion of some people. Now, there's a friend of mine, a comic, that is not taking it because she's got MS. And
that's fine.
Oh, how it would react.
Joe, that's fine. That's not who I'm talking to.
Hear me out. So also we had a discussion before. If you are a girl in your 20s, in 30s, you might worry about, you know, how it would affect if you have a baby. That's fine. But then you get these, you know, these theorist assholes that they have to drag kicking and screaming. But, you know, you're going to have that on either side, you know. I mean, you get, with their theories and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, to each his own. Me, I got a flu vaccine. I got the COVID vaccine. You need to work the room. You have to work the room. You know, it's a day program. It's handy to have it. You got to work the room. The day program pays for all the shit. Lord knows comedy don't. But, you know, and I'm not going to sit, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, I'm not thrilled about taking it. I really feel I really wouldn't take it. But you got to work the room. With the cruise ships, they're mandating that they don't. I think that might be discrimination on that with certain people.
They're making a law that they can't require. They're making a law regulating private business and I don't want to get into this whole thing, but again, the small government party is trying to regulate big business yet again. It's such bullshit. I can't take that fucking party seriously for all the fakakta stuff the left comes up with, and there's plenty. I at least I know what their morals are. Kind of, mostly. Well, they're right, there are no morals. It's a fucking cult. It's not even a cult that makes sense, because he's the one who said get the vaccine.
I can't make sense out of it either. I really don't get it. I have to say that last night, James Corden's show, he was, you know, talking about the same thing and saying, you know, they give them all kinds of things to go and get the shot. What do they have to give them? And the drummer says, blowjobs.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That'll do it.
Is that what it takes?
But think about it. These morons are so fucking delusional that they think the government wants to track these inbred motherfuckers? Really? We need to fucking track you fucking middle management guy at Applebee's who's 55 years old and has two kids that may not graduate high school and an ugly wife who hates you, you're the guy the government has to keep tabs on and track it. We're going to waste this fucking nanotechnology of putting microchips and vaccines on you? You? You're not that fucking special. We got millions of you. We got millions and millions of you. We should fucking track AOC. We should track Donald Trump. I want to know what those fuckers are up to. Track Elizabeth Warren, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, is, I know, is in Cancun. Bad example. But then Jim Jordan. Wait, let's track these. Jeff Bezos. George Soros. These are the
motherfuckers. He's going to be in space soon.
Yeah. Bill Gates. These are the motherfuckers I want to track. They're exceptional for a wide variety of reasons. You, Goober, we don't need to track you. Don't worry. If you're doing something wrong, the FBI is already surveilling you. Now, if they're going to report it or not, I couldn't tell you. But we don't need to put a microchip in you because you're not that special or bright. I can't with these fucking people. I can't. They ruin everything.
You know what? When my mom, who was paranoid and you know, thought that, you know, they were, you know, checking on her movements and they could see her through the TV and stuff. That was before we had like FaceTime and stuff where people actually could see it. God help me if
she was right.
Not existing while she was alive. She was always on about, you know, they're checking this and they're checking that. And I would waste my breath with her too and say, you're not that fucking important. Nobody's tracking your movements.
And these are the,
I don't want to say that to these morons.
These are the same fucking morons that have to post everything they do and post their location on fucking social media. The same fucking morons that have to let everybody know what they're doing and who they're with and when they're doing it. But they don't think the government can see that. The government can't see your Instagram, dumbass. But the government's wasting money to put a microchip and a fucking vaccine to track you. That's what they're doing. I can't.
Just zap them with your Jewish space lasers.
If I had,
that will save everybody time.
Listen, we don't have space lasers. We just fund the space lasers. So once again, Marjorie Taylor Greene did not get it right. I just can't. I mean, really, it's time. I have a joke about this, too, where I talk about how my mom called me up about the Peloton machine and how it was, like, sucking up children. And I said, that's awesome. You know, we talked about her on the show, and that's great. I wish we had machines that would suck up stupid fucking kids, because the bright kids aren't getting sucked into a Peloton. The people that are getting sucked into a Peloton who can only dream of getting a middle management position at Chili's, that's just a fucking pipe dream. We're not losing the best and the brightest. It's a fucking Peloton. I promise you. I wish I had a fucking big Peloton machine, and I would just go around town and I would suck up the fucking stupid.
How would it, the Peloton machine, know?
Because it takes a special type of stupid to get sucked into the Peloton. The Peloton's not doing anything. The Peloton's being a Peloton. You're the fucking moron that gets close enough to get sucked into it. The average person, you know what the average person does with a Peloton? They use it for 2.5 weeks and then they tell people how they used to use their Peloton. That's what the fucking average person does with a Peloton. It's only the fucking
rack.
What?
Clothes rack.
Yeah, well, that's the old joke, sure. But it's a little bit more expensive than that. But, I mean, enough. Like, they did the cinnamon challenge. We had to resuscitate him. Why? What are we losing? I mean, I know he's your son and you love him. But for the species, it's a push at best. Sorry.
Well, you love him, but the rest of us.
Really? What, this is just a burden. At best, your son is the equivalent of an extra on Star Trek. They're going to die in the first few minutes. That's the most your son can ever achieve.
They do have the right to say whether they want the vaccine or not.
Yeah, sure they do. I didn't say they don't have the right to whether they have the vaccine or not, but a business should have the right to whether you can endanger the people who work there or not. I didn't say they don't. I didn't say we should force people.
Believe me. I think the cruise business is hurting so much that they really don't care. You know, they're just trying to get the ships back out of port.
No, they do care because they'll probably do better business if only vaccinated people will go on. You look at these sporting events at Madison Square Garden. for the Knicks and the Barclays Center, for the Nets. They were pretty full, and that was for vaccinated people. Vaccinated people want to go out and have a good time and feel safe. If you're unvaccinated, that's fine. That's fine, but you don't get the right to jeopardize other people's health. You don't have to do that. But if a place doesn't want you because they don't want their waiters or waitresses or bellhops or whatever to get fucking sick, that's their right.
Yeah, I don't want to go someplace where some mouth breather is sending his germs on me in the first place. But if he's chock full of COVID, look, you know, vaccinated or not, even if you're vaccinated, that doesn't mean you won't get it. It just means when you get it, it won't kill you.
Correct.
It's still a miserable trip to get sick like that.
Yes. Yes. But, I mean, I just can't with these. The point was, these people... they're ruining these kids' graduation just by any means necessary. Whatever it takes to get these kids graduate to have something memorable. If it means doing 3 or 4 graduations, so be it. If it means doing one big graduation where we have to be separated, so be it. I don't have a kid graduating this year. I don't have a bone in this dog. I'm sure that's not the expression.
I should hope not.
You don't have a horse in this race.
I don't have that either, Joe. I don't. There are no animals involved in this analogy.
So what they were saying is they were going to do one big one outside, and he said, no, we can't do that, so we'll do 3 separate ones?
No, originally they were going to do, because of the state regulations, they were going to do 3 or 4 separate ones, but people didn't want to be put out that way. So then they said, all right, we'll do one big one outside, but because space is limited, we can pack in vaccinated people closer together and the unvaccinated further apart. And then people bitched about that. I mean, I guess it could have been vaccinated people bitching too. But again, it's just so fucking selfish. Why do you have to write...
I don't want to be inconvenienced during a pandemic.
I can't with these people anymore. I need my own island. All right. We'll move on. I didn't mean to go on that tangent. I was just reading a local story on the break. And that combined with Florida making a law about vaccines during a pandemic to fuck the cruise line industry. Oh, fucking Florida. We should have left you with Ponce de Leon. All right.
Well, they've been doing fine, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, every state has had its ebbs and flows. I mean, you know, they're sometimes they're fine, sometimes they're not fine, sometimes they're accused of lying about numbers. I mean, you know, listen, Joe, they did the election perfect. They were a model example of how to do an election, but they couldn't leave that fucking well enough alone. They had early voting and they had everything counted by the night of because they counted beforehand. That's how you do shit. That was a model example of how to do a proper fucking election, which everybody can learn from. We still got to fucking fuck things up and fix it. I can't. When Florida finally does something right, it's no good. I can't with people anymore. Florida was the model example of how to do a state should run. I can't believe I'm saying this, of how a state should run an election. They had early hours. They had early voting. They were counting as it went on. Nobody knew the results. And we had the results at 11 o'clock at night because they could just add up the people who voted that day because they already had the information for people who voted ahead of time. Right. Makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Why couldn't we leave this well enough alone? Because we're morons. But whatever. Even when we do shit right, we're not happy. All right. The Department of Defense will maintain existing policy for the display of unofficial flags. I don't know what that means. And not grant an exception to the display of the Pride flag at military bases, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said in a statement to CNN. Kirby said the decision does not in any way reflect on or the respect and admiration we feel for our LGBTQ+ personnel in and out of uniform. All right. We're adding fucking symbols. Enough. I mean, can't we just call it a word? I mean, this is going to sound insensitive, but it was a lot easier when everybody was just queer or just gay. It was a lot easier when we just lumped everybody in with the word. Because it used to be LGBT, then it was LGBTQ, now it's LGBTQ+, and I know there's other ones that they're not adding. It's a little much. I want to do the right thing.
Disneyland are also adding MOUSE.
Thank you. LGBTQ plus mouse. I mean, listen, do we have to... Can't we just lump it all in and like can't everybody be under the umbrella, the rainbow umbrella? Can't do we have to include every letter and every fucking symbol? It's a little much. Again, the self-importance. We get it. You're not straight, and that's great. That's fantastic. Or you don't know if you're straight. That's fantastic. But do you need your own symbol? Are you Prince? All right, I digress.
I think we should call it Roy G. Biv.
Who?
That's the letters, the first letters of each of the colors in the rainbow.
Oh. Well, there you go. Thank you. Well, there you go, Pip. Thank you for that. At least there's no symbols involved. I mean, yeah, I'm reading LGBTQ plus parentheses with an integer. I mean, enough. I can't.
There's a lot, and it, you know, everybody's got, you know, now you don't just have the rainbow. You also have black and brown, and you have light blue, white, pink.
You know what?
There's a lot of colors getting tagged on to that.
I have the solution. It goes back to one of our greatest sitcoms of all time, Three's Company. You always knew what Mr. Roper was talking about when he did this little thing and said Tinkerbell. You knew exactly who he was talking about. That's what we should go back to.
No. No. No.
If it's good enough for Mr. Roper, it's good enough for me.
Mrs. Roper wasn't good enough for Mr. Roper.
No, she wasn't good enough for me.
You know, it's getting a little... I mean, it doesn't sound politically correct, but can we stop adding things? Can we just agree that you're one, some subset of not heterosexual? Could you just? Because wow,
it's too much.
It, like, you know, you don't say, like, you know, all kinds of Protestant don't have, like, a flag and a different color for each subsect. The Methodists want a flag. The Lutherans want a flag. The Episcopalians want a flag. Oh, my God.
No, you know what? And the Jews know how to handle you. You're all a bunch of goyim. And we move on. All right. And you are a shiksa. We move on. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This put
the, I have a flag.
You should have a flag. It's this put the Pentagon at odds with the State Department, where Secretary of State Antony Blinken issued a blanket authorization for U.S. diplomatic outposts to fly the rainbow flag on the same flagpole as the American flag at embassies and consulates in April. The policy, which limits which unofficial flags can be displayed at military bases, was put in place last July by Trump-appointed Defense Secretary Mark Esper. The policy was part of an effort to ban the display of the Confederate flag and other potential hate symbols on bases in the midst of last summer's racial tensions. After the policy was implemented, then-presidential candidate Joe Biden tweeted that banning the Confederate flag from military installations was long overdue. Banning the LGBTQ, no plus, mind you, pride flag, the very symbol of diversity and inclusion, is undeniably wrong. The Pentagon should ensure it is authorized. As president, I will. Just not right away, apparently. Kirby said during a press conference at the Pentagon on Friday that there had been no formal review of the previous policy, but knowing that the month of June was approaching, we wanted to do due diligence and take a look at the old policy and see if we felt it was still applicable. As of right now, the Secretary of Defense believes is that the policy should be maintained. The decision not to change the policy and allow the pride flag to be displayed stems from a concern about other challenges to the policy that an exception of this kind might engender and encourage, Kirby said. Part of the concern with the changing the policy was that any change could result in any number of cause-related flags and symbols being displayed on military installations, a senior defense official said. Jennifer Dane, CEO and executive director of Modern Military Association of America, an advocacy group supporting LGBTQ plus service members and veterans, was disappointed at the department did not change the policy to allow pride flags to be flown. It's another statement that our service isn't as important as everyone else's, Dane told CNN. It's a small thing that matters, especially during Pride Month. Dane said the pride flag is a symbol of diversity and inclusion, exactly what the Department of Defense should be striving for. Kirby stressed that the decision in no way reflects any lack of respect or admiration for the people of the LGBTQ plus community, the personnel in and out of uniform we serve. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin will participate in Pride Month activities in the Pentagon next week. Kirby sent a statement. Austin encourages all commands to likewise find ways to recognize the service and contributions of the LGBTQ plus in defense of this nation, Kirby said. The Defense Department held its LGBTQ plus Pride Month event at the Pentagon in 2012. Several defense officials say the service will do so again this year. All right, here's how I think about this. In my opinion, I think the only flags that should fly at military installations are the United States flag, the branch of the military, and maybe the state that you're in. So if you're in New Jersey, if you have a base in New Jersey, maybe the state flag there. I don't know what these other unofficial flags are. I think in your room you should be able to display your pride flag. But I think if we're talking about the official flagpole of the military installation, let's just keep it simple. Let's just keep it really fucking simple. We're all here for one reason: the red, white, and blue. That's why we're here. And then and the state and the branch. That's why we're all here. All this other stuff is fantastic. It's great. Take pride in it all. Not the Confederate shit, but take pride in it all. We just don't need it on the flagpole. Why does everything have to be on the flagpole?
And the whole thing about it is when you go to basic training, basically when soldiers enter basic training, gay, straight, black, white, male, female, basic training takes an individual and breaks the individual down and then molds everybody into one unit. One unit wins wars. One unit keeps from getting killed. It's one unit. Individuality in the military is not something that they should have. I mean, look, discrimination against what you are is a problem, but individuality in the military does not work. It is one unit working together. There should be just one flag. Exactly. I agree with Davin on those flags. But when you start doing this, it's starting to put individualism in there, which is not the core of the military. The core of the military is everybody working as one, stripped down as a soldier, black, white, gay, whatever. And to have these flags here, to have this flag here, it is not an official flag, and it does not have a place here. Also, I think the whole LGBTQ plus minus one divide by three, this whole thing is starting to get overreaching, where we do celebrate, we do honor people that are gay. We don't discriminate against that. But I think they're pushing their agenda a little far forward from where it should be. You get your respect. Nobody gets hurt and stuff like that. Like I said, the people live next door to me are lesbians. They're the most sweetest people in the world. If they put a gay flag out there, a rainbow flag, cool. If they come over to my house and demand me to put it up, no, because you don't have the right to demand or make me put it. You have your own individuality. That's out of the military context. But in the military context, it is broken down from the individual into a soldier as a unit.
All that being said, I do think Joe Biden broke a campaign promise. It's very fun to say when you're running against Donald Trump how wrong Donald Trump is going to be, and you're going to do the opposite. And then the first chance you get to do the opposite, you kind of let other people make the decision. Now, Joe Biden was ahead of Barack Obama on gay marriage. Barack Obama had to catch up to Joe Biden on the gay marriage thing, and that's where the country went. Actually, the country followed where Joe Biden was, not Barack Obama, when it comes to gay marriage. So all that being said, and my personal belief about what should be, I think Joe Biden, much like Donald Trump, who said nobody's going to be better for the gays, and that wasn't the case, I think Joe Biden's got to fly that flag at the Pentagon, not that I agree with it, but because he made the promise. And, Donald Trump promised things to the LGBTQ plus community that did not happen. The opposite happened. Joe Biden makes this fucking promise, and the first chance he gets, oh, what, who, me? No. You got to make, he thinks the flag should fly. He's got to order it.
What was it? His specific promise was that they would fly the flag at the Pentagon?
Let me see here. Here's where Joe Biden tweeted that banning the Confederate flag from military installations was long overdue. Banning the LGBTQ pride flag, the very symbol of diversity and inclusion, is undeniably wrong. The Pentagon should ensure it is authorized. As president, I will. His fucking words.
Right.
Wow.
But here's the deal. He might have to take the hit on this because diversity and inclusion. There's no diversity in the army.
Joe, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying, if this guy wants to be taken serious, listen, all these politicians break promises. I'm just saying.
Right. And all these, and I'm throwing Trump right in the mix. I'm not going to take Trump in, but all of them say shit.
It was very easy to run against Donald Trump and say the opposite of Donald Trump, just like it was easy for Trump to run against Barack Obama. It's always easy to run against the guy who's in the office now. It's always very easy to do that. So, and that's people elected Joe Biden, but most people elected not Donald Trump. That's really what it was. So you make these promises, And again, it's not, it doesn't scratch my itch personally, but you make these promises, he kind of owes it to them. He kind of...
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, I don't think he does, and I think his chiefs of staff may have sat down, you know, sat down and talked to him about this. And, you know, I if he doesn't do it, I think that, it, you know, he needs, you know, it's a good policy. It should not, the flag or any other flag that is not of a military context could fly.
Yeah, but I don't know what these other unofficial flags are. That's the thing. Like, I don't know what else they're flying on that flagpole.
Well, I think maybe if there is a platoon, like, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know, but that would be an official flag. See, I really need to know what these unofficial flags are. If
I'm curious about that, too. Like, MIA, POW?
That would be
like
official, I would think. But if, say it was like Puerto Rican Day Parade or something. Say it was something like that. Puerto Rican. Like, if you're flying something like that, then you should fly the pride flag. I really need to know what these unofficial are. POW, MIA, all that stuff on my mind, the uneducated mind in this case, goes to official stuff that could be appropriate to fly on the Pentagon's flagpole with the United States flag. But whatever. It is. Listen, I think it doesn't scratch me where I itch, but I'm fucking tired of politicians lying about shit. I got to be honest with you. So.
Well. You're gonna have a long way to go because they all do.
I understand. No, I but you know what? If I'm gonna call Donald Trump on the carpet for lying, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't call Joe Biden on the carpet for lying, right? You know,
yeah. True that.
All right, let's do some School of Fools. School of Fools. All right, here. California school district set up a support group for white students so they could talk about how the verdict of the Derek Chauvin trial was affecting them. Chauvin, a white Minnesota police officer, was found guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and a manslaughter on April 20th over the death of George Floyd, a black man, in May 2020. Floyd's killing triggered the mass protests against racism and police brutality across the U.S., and his death has become a symbol of racial injustice in the U.S. But in the wake of the verdict, administrators with the Piedmont Unified School District, apparently not so unified, launched a support group for white students at two high schools, according to internal emails obtained by SFGate. I think that's San Francisco Gate. An April 21st email to students and faculty published by SFGate said, "We are offering a restorative community circle to support white students who would like to discuss how the trial, verdict, and experiences related to the George Floyd murder are impacting you." It was attributed to Cheryl Wozniak, the Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services. Separate support circles with on-site counselors were also announced for BIPOC, African Americans, and black students, SFGate said, citing school emails. News of the post white-only supported group spread following a viral TikTok post. And the backlash was intense inside the schools and online because there was no cool dance move to go to it. As a result, school district officials scrapped the white-only group meetup scheduled for April 29th. Fox 2 KTVU reported, citing the school newspaper, the Piedmont Highlander. You know it's great when the news has to go to the high school's paper. We get all our information from the high school paper. That old rag. The group for BIPOC and black students went ahead as planned on April 30th and May 3rd, respectively, the paper said. On April 23rd, Randall Booker, the superintendent of the Piedmont Unified School District, said in a statement that the idea was a mistake. A poor choice of words in the subject line of the invitation to white students led to the perception that white students need the same kind of, quote, support as our BIPOC students, he wrote. Students of all racial backgrounds rightfully pushed back on that idea. This district's intent was to give our BIPOC students a safe space and to talk with others from similar racial backgrounds, how to provide white students with an opportunity to talk about how to be an ally. Corey Smiegel, the school board president, said students were right to criticize the school. Our students were the first to call attention to it, and they were right to do so. The leadership response was swift and direct, an apology and explanation, but we understand that all these caused harm that needs repair. So it seems like the wording was wrong. I don't know. It's weird because I understand why some of these minority students would want to talk about things in a group amongst themselves, but I think that should be like step one. I think step two would be you bring in people from all groups, including white people, to discuss it as a broader sense about how everybody's feeling. So, I mean, I think it was just the wording, but I mean, this affected white people. I mean, it did affect, I mean, it obviously does not affect in the same way as it would affect a person of color. It obvious, but I mean, this. I mean, if you looked in these protests, what was going on? I mean, white people were greatly affected. If you looked about what was the murder of George Floyd, there was white people there who were very distressed. There was white people who testified. So the white people did have an experience with this. I don't know. I feel like it was just mishandled wrong. I'm kind of mixed about this thing.
You know, and the funny thing is, we had the same thought process on this, where I'm like, well, if these other groups can have it, why can't the, you know, the white kids? Obviously, it affected them too. And then I stopped, like you stopped. Why are we segregating? Why are we? The whole purpose of this is to have unity. So why are we segregating? And you're right. We should have had a group thing to get an open dialogue to see how. Because sometimes you don't understand how. You know, a perfect example, Dad, when we had that big blowout, God almighty, it's almost 10 years ago, when we had that ride down to Virginia, I mean, there were things that I didn't realize how you felt. There were things that, you know, you didn't realize how I felt, and we talked it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same premise here where, you know, you might see, you know, an African-American might see how a white person feels and didn't realize he felt that way, and a white person might not realize how an African-American felt. There's dialogue, and with dialogue comes discussion, and with discussion comes unity. So for them to segregate it from the get-go was a mistake. They didn't handle it right.
Yeah, I
agree with what you're saying.
Like, I think they could have, like I said, I think that if they were going to do this, and, you know, on the one hand, kudos for the school for doing this, but on the other hand, why does the school always have to step up and do this shit? It's a shame how much, it's like the schools always have to do, the school and the police, I've said time and again, always have to do shit that nobody else wants to do, and then they get in trouble for doing the shit because they're not really geared for doing it. I mean, I don't know if the school is necessarily the place where this should take place. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You would think maybe with political leaders within the community. But I think, you know what, if they did a two-step thing, listen, we're going to break it down to individual groups and race, so you could say everything you want to say to each other in a safer environment, and then we're going to bring everybody who participated in that, and we're going to break you down into separate groups with mixed ethnicities, so you can hear how your peers feel about it and what they're going through. Maybe that would have been the better way. Like, it seems like this way, they're just angry that there was a white group, but I don't know if they're angry that it was a white group or that it was, like, phrased that the white people are dealing with the same thing that black people are, when clearly in this case they were. It's kind of a weird story.
Right. And that was like the kind of like the argument they were. Well, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So why don't we have everybody together to discuss it? Because they might, you know, well, how could white people feel anything? Let them have their say. So the African-American people, the people of color, can understand how they feel. Well, and you have a dialogue, because when you understand and, you know, and get a feeling for something, you have a totally different take on it. It should have, to end racial hatred with segregation makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. I mean, like I said, I understand the reason. So, because if you're in your own ethnicity, some people feel safer that they can express how they really feel. So, like I said, that could be phase one, but there's got to be a bigger end game.
Right, it was the whole thing with the safe space, which I kind of feel, there's two Pip Helixes.
Two! It's Pip Helix, it's LGBTQ plus Pip Helix.
I am not a twin!
The whole thing with the safe space, you can't have a safe space through your whole life, and you can't run to a safe space. And if you start to have an open dialogue, you won't need a safe space anymore, because there should be more understanding to your plight.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you actually in this country, you can have a safe space your whole life. I wish it wasn't that way, but we've seen people of all political persuasions demand their safe space. You can. It's not really good for society, but you can.
No, it's not, and it's not good for dialogue, and stuff like that causes resentment. And resentment causes anger, and resentment causes hatred, and it causes division. You're not solving the problem. I mean, if it's, you know, I mean, every, it sounds cornball, but everybody's lives matter. I mean, and especially with kids, because kids are very open-minded, more than they ever were.
You know, Joe, in the past I've said that, but lately I'm like seeing news articles that I'm not so sure. I think
except for the auction, okay? The auction maybe not.
So, what? What'd you say?
But except for that auction, that online auctioning.
No, but there's a bunch of these stories. I'm reading, like, when I'm looking for articles, like, for the show, I'm like, oh, my God, how much of this nonsense can we cover?
then more so the reason to have everybody in on this.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying I don't know if the kids are more open minded. I think the parents are ruining them.
But all right, and now I just you brought in why do the schools have to be involved? You kind of answered that question. You know, where they are at school. Just like I was saying last week or the week before, you know, my parents' generation was very bigoted and stuff like that. You know, and you would have those ideas at home. But you would go to school and you would find out what you were being taught. And, you know, there's other sides to the story. And, you know, you that's why I get so upset with the Black Lives Matter movement and all, oh, you're racist, this white privilege. I learned during the 70s. That how what bigotry was, what hatred was, and how to get away from that. So for that lesson to be learned, and then people, oh, you're a bigot, you're that, you know, that's why I get so damn mad about that. So in the context of that, it's because of school where there was an open dialogue, and we're getting back to the point where there's segregation again, and it's self-inflicted segregation where black kids want to be with black kids, we don't want white kids there. So something that they were fighting against in the 60s, where you had to have the National Guard come in, the African American community is trying to take a step back to that, trying to get a safe space. And it's not going to do any good.
All right. Let's move on to the next story. This is a story about a couple DJs who one of them, they're pretending to interview this Victor Brick. I guess he's a DJ. His Japanese wife, who as best as I can tell is not anybody famous. So the guy, Tim Conway Jr., is doing the interview, and his producer, Sharon Bellio, who's not Asian, is playing the Asian woman. And there's a lot of this. It goes on for 5 minutes. I recorded 2 minutes of it. It's hard to hear. But just to give you, it was very stereotypical from like the 1950s maybe or 1940s. But I just want to give you a taste of what these two radio geniuses did, and then we will talk about what happened. They got suspended, but we'll talk about all that.
Victor Brick's wife, and evidently Victor Brick's wife was listening, and Elio Buster, so he's never been on with us before. So Victor Brick's wife, Yoko Sakamoto, right? Yoko Sakamoto, you're on KFI, how are you?
Oh, how are you? I'm just going right. Oh, Chuya, I'm going to have you. Oh, be the bamboo. Ben, I do not like.
All right, I can't listen to any more of that. I have a link to it in my blog if you want to listen to the whole thing. This is my blog. This is the story, and then we'll get into it. I know Pip listened to the 5 minutes that we'll never get back. Joe, did you listen to the 5 minute clip of this?
Not really. The story really explained.
Oh no! Oh no! No! To get the real flavor, you got to hear the genius.
Also, Anthony Cumia discussed it on his show, and I'll have his comments.
Okay. Anyway, iHeartMedia, the parent company KFIAM Radio, suspended Los Angeles radio host Tim Conway Jr. and executive producer Sharon Bellio without pay for an anti-Asian skit they did while on air on May 3rd. Conway and Bellio aired a nearly 5-minute skit earlier this month where they pretend to interview Yuku Sakamoto, the wife of radio personality Vic the Brick Jacobs, according to Deadline. Bellio impersonated Sakamoto using a stereotypical Japanese accent while shouting "Hiya!" and different variations of the Kiai. The skit happened days after the Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month began. Bellio was also named Employee of the Month on May 1st. Was she now? While on air on May 21st, Bellio expressed her apology to the AAPI community for her actions, adding their failed attempt at humor was insensitive. Conway admitted they were suspended and said they would return on June 1st with a fresh perspective. Really? Really? Will we be doing a Filipino accent next? We believe it's important to take this time to recognize the issue of hate crimes against Asians that have significantly increased over the last few months, Conway said. In fact, these crimes have doubled in the last month. iHeartMedia suspended Belli on Conway after Guy Aoki, a civil rights activist and founding president of Media Action Network for Asian Americans, pressured the company. Aoki, however, thinks the apology was not specific enough. We were disappointed that they didn't mention their audience what they'd done, so those who weren't listening when the bit originally aired had no idea what Tim and Sharon are getting suspended. Robin Bertolucci, the station's program director, described Belli and Conway's action as thoughtless and unacceptable, and me as covering my ass. She also assured Deadline the situation is being handled appropriately and internally. Dodged a bullet over there. Sakamoto told KTLA5 she was not happy about the skit at all, but hopes this can be a teachable moment. No. As part of the radio station's plan to combat racism, Bertolucci said KFI started running public service announcements on May 21st, educating listeners on how they can help with the anti-Asian hate issue. The KFI news team is also preparing a special focusing on anti-Asian violence, what is being done to stop it, and what people do to help. All right. Oh, my God. You got to listen to this. You got to listen to this. It's 5 minutes. It's God awful. Forget about the crimes against Asian. What about the crimes to fucking comedy? What? When is somebody going to stick up for comedy? Here's my take on accents. If the accent is the joke, don't do it. Joe and I have been in many a club and seen many a comic who over the years have done an Indian accent with some variation of, thank you, come again. There's no jokes. That gets the fucking laugh. Have you seen that, Joe? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
That shit had its day. You know what? Stop it. An accent at best should be an accentuation of your joke. They had no jokes. This woman was not famous. So you can't even say you were impersonating somebody who everybody would know. In that way, it would be a little less offensive if she actually talked this way. But she doesn't even talk this way. So what you did is you put an offensive, non-funny piece of material out there in this day and age. You deserve to lose your job for being fucking stupid. If I had a Peloton, I would suck the two of you morons up right now. Not because I'm sticking up for Asian Americans, because I'm sticking up for comedy and radio. I mean, listen, the three of us, we've talked about before, many years ago, came up with the bright idea of Arabs on the Arts. We maybe did it like two or three times. Basically, it was us discussing movies and music in an Arabic accent. The whole punchline was the Arabic accent. After a couple times...
The only punchline, yeah, the only crime was it was devoid of any humor whatsoever.
It was terrible, and it was offensive. It was god-awful. But we didn't need somebody to tell us and complain.
Tell something like that was when I did the Guido's bit with the Art of the Topless. Ooh.
Listen, I mean, these guys have been, this is L.A., this is a major market. Can they find nobody with talent out there to host a radio show? Supposedly these guys have been around for a while. And you know what? Let's just do this with the accents. Retire all the accents, because we can't handle them. We cannot handle them as a society. Retire the Southern accent, retire the Jewish accent, retire the Asian accent, retire the Irish accent, because you know what? Because we're checking them off slowly but surely anyway. Because 2 years ago, you could have done an Asian accent, and nobody would have fucking batted an eye. It wasn't any less awful and offensive. You could just do it. But now we're starting to go through the list. We talked about this a couple weeks ago with the Italians on Saturday Night Live, and I said, listen, if Saturday Night Live wants to claim they're being fucking woke, then nay, nay. You don't get to do the Italian stereotypical accent. It's a little different if you're imitating a specific person who has that thick accent. Then you go, okay, I'm not doing, this person speaks in that way, and I'm exaggerating. Fine. But for me to talk like y'all, hey, maybe I'm offending Southerners. I don't need to fucking do that. Just retire the accent. America is no longer mature enough to handle the accent, and apparently we're not creative enough to use the accent wisely in a humorous way.
Right. Now, my whole take on it is you can't be that fucking stupid.
Peloton! They need a Peloton, Joe!
Now, Anthony Cumia discussed it on his show. Anthony, who is one of the most noted shock jocks in the country, who used to do all these bits, who was on Sirius XM, and his take was, you can't be that fucking stupid. How could you? I mean, Anthony said he suspended us when we had the homeless guy talking about fucking Condoleezza Rice. You can't work for the company and not know what the parameters are. Now, on Ant's platform, those guys do this shit day in and day out. It's Ant's platform. It's his company. They can do what they got to do. So for the simple fact that Tim Conway Jr. and his co-host don't understand that they could get fucking fired for doing shit like this, you can't be that stupid.
But, Joe, where was the humor in this? Where was the comedy? I mean, like, at some point, I mean, I don't listen to Anthony's platform, but I'm guaranteeing you that a lot of the people that are doing those accents are not doing funny shit. At some point, it's just tried and hack. It's the lazy arms. At some point, it's just the fucking lazy arms. And, you know, black people are like this, and white people are like that, and men are like this, and women are like that. At some point, where are the comedy police to go, enough, you suck, you need to write or go away?
Well, the arms are hacky to start with, but now you got the lazy arms? Holy crap.
The lazy arms, they just kind of hang there limply. So I'm standing there doing nothing. I'm too tired to wave my hands.
You gonna rub anything? No.
No, too tired. It's the lazy arms.
You know, obviously they're not comics either. And if you're going to write something like that, you can't, you know, I mean, we're too immature now. We're not mature enough to handle this shit anymore. Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head. But, you know, for that, I mean, to write something that long and that not funny and you can't be that stupid. Suspend them? They better be praying they're fucking coming back.
I would fire them. I mean, I would be like, you guys suck. There's never been such a display of suckitude as that. I would fucking fire everybody involved with the show. I really would. Because at some point, somebody has to make the decision, go, this isn't that funny. I know you have a lot of time to fill. Trust me, I know. I know that, you know, 4 hours a day, 20 hours is a lot to fill. Take a fucking caller.
Let me tell you, SiriusXM looks to cut costs any way they can. As a matter, you know, a lot of radio stations do. I was talking to Eric Nagel one day at Ant's place. He's the program director there. And I was asking him about Joe Concha, who was a great afternoon show on WOR. And I go, what happened? He goes, big corporate, they fired everybody throughout the country. Everybody. But he had good reason. They don't give a shit. So these places are looking to cut corners and put it on. So for them to do this, if they're looking at salaries and stuff like that, this is the perfect opportunity to sack these guys. And these guys are in the business and should know that. You know?
Now all this being said, I don't think anything happens if this guy Guy Aoki doesn't complain. Because I think this is the same guy that went after Leno.
If he doesn't complain, they're fine. And also, let me tell you something. The program director is probably going to have a shit stain. He'll never wash out because he'll probably fucking go too.
I think the program director should go. I mean, the buck's got to stop somewhere. I mean, enough. Be funny. If you're going to be offensive, be funny. So at least you could go, well, they were going for the joke. No, it was like a 1950s impersonation if you never actually spoke to a Japanese American. That's what like, if you've never met Japanese people, but you have a vague idea of what you think they might sound like from a Mr. Magoo cartoon.
Yeah, but look, we've done morning radio. You know, the road and stuff like that. You sit there going, how do I fix this? Yeah. You know.
Yeah, but Joe.
Well, but they don't know what they're doing, you know?
In their defense, I don't know the show. I don't know what they sound like on a normal day. But in the article, people were defending them and saying this was a rare misstep. This was really out of character. So I don't know if I would throw the whole baby out with the bathwater.
Five minutes of a god-awful Japanese accent with no punchlines. You know how precious 5 minutes of radio is in L.A.? Seriously, 5 minutes. You go to Sheboygan. You're done. Get out. Don't let the door hit you in the fanny. Take a beer cozy. Sayonara. Ugh.
It was god-awful. Agreed. But I'm just saying, you know, look, they... should we all live and die on one skit?
Doesn't the program director cut to running with the devil or something? At some point, I mean, this thing is fucking 5 minutes long. At some point, doesn't the...
That's why the program director's shitting his drawers, too, because he's getting the boot.
As long as I don't cut to turning Japanese, I think we're safe.
See, what the whole thing is if this, you know, the way we are now, you know, if this was a couple of years ago, I'm like, the guy's got to relax. But if you are in the business and you're doing this as your gig, you should have some fucking brains and know not even to do an accent quickly if you're doing even serious radio or terrestrial, but to do a five-minute spot. It's like, how far do we really want to be?
About a woman who nobody knows who she is. You're just mocking some various Japanese woman who's married to a DJ who maybe they know. That's who you're picking on. You're not picking on a public figure. And listen, as always, when it comes to these things, if you're gonna do it, the joke better be funny. That was always the argument I had with the N-word joke with comics. They would go, "Oh, I can't." White comics go, "I can't believe you're doing the N-word." Yeah, but do you hear the fucking applause break? It was worth it because it was a good, the joke was solid enough at the time to justify that word. You have to, if you're going to talk about controversial stuff or do controversial things, you better be fucking funny. And they didn't bring any funny.
There was nothing amusing about it. It was just really terrible and yelling "Hi-ya!" every once in a while. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah, like I said, I'm not offended as a Japanese person, because that doesn't even remotely sound like a Japanese person. I'm offended as a comedy and radio person. That's how I'm offended. All right. They suck. They really do suck. Anyway, all right. Let's do a little, let me find my Nazi news here. I always find we're lightening things up with Nazi news.
This should be fine. All right, let me find my Nazi music here. But that's the thing. You do this on your own platform, you know?
I do this on my own platform, but the thing is, we're not making fun of the victims here. Like all these stories are making fun of the morons that, like, hold the Nazis up on some pedestal or use the Nazis for some type of point, like in this story. We're not doing this and then doing, like, a Jewish accent as they get ushered into a gas fucking chamber. We're not doing that. I mean, there's a time.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
you know,
no.
Sometimes, the pin, you know, you got to take it case by case. Now, we just went over the whole thing with them. Let's say, for example, obviously we're on Facebook Live. And one of the Facebook censors saw that and goes, "We have to pull everything down because you mentioned the Nazis." And you give that argument. sorry. No, you mentioned Nazis on that.
That's so fine.
Even though in the Tim Conway Jr. thing, yeah, what are you doing? Sometimes you make a quick mention to prove a point, and people don't want to hear it.
That's fine. I'm not worried. That's why I'm not running for office. All right.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
Outside Hat Works in Edgehill today, two groups of protesters saying they wanted to call attention to the store. They say it's upsetting that this symbol was used to seemingly compare the COVID-19 vaccine to the Holocaust.
It makes me furious.
Kevin McGurk said he's proud to be protesting today. This comes after Hatworks posted this on Instagram, saying it's selling Star of David patches with the label "not vaccinated" for $5 each.
As an American, I'm outraged, I'm offended, and I have to stand here and protest.
He joined many others outside Hatworks Nashville today, saying selling these patches isn't okay.
Comparing that to the death of 6 million Jews is just unconscionable.
Others agree.
It makes me feel a little angry, more than anything.
Daniel Grove and Lauren Stratton both said they felt like they had to speak out. And it's very hurtful to see this kind of hatred. I visited the store yesterday when this story first broke to try and ask the store owner why she decided to sell these. I was turned away. We tried again today. The shop locked up tight. So we messaged them on Instagram. A message popped up saying it can't receive our message. So we tried calling.
9-0-0-9-4.
an email got through. Around 7:30 p.m., Hatworks posted an apology on Instagram, writing, "In no way did I intend to trivialize the Star of David or disrespect what happened to millions of people. This is not who I am and what I stand for. This comes after suppliers to Hatworks started pulling products. Stetson has a large sign outside of Hatworks. They posted on Twitter today that it's ceasing all operations with the store. Tula Hats pulled its product. Gorn Brothers writing it's horrified by Hatworks' actions and that it's looking at all options.
If people know about it, they'll go buy hats somewhere else."
This post is not on Instagram anymore, and another post of the Star of David with the words "not vaccinated" was also removed.
Okay, so here's a little background on that. Uproar over the patches began Thursday after the shop posted a photo to Instagram of store owner Gigi Gaskins wearing one of them. "Patches are here," stated the caption of the photo, which has since been removed. "They turned out great, $5 each. We'll be offering trucker caps soon." So the patch was in Nazi Germany and other countries. Maybe not just Nazi Germany. The Jews had to wear stars of David that said Jew. In German, I believe I have that right. So now she's using that design for no vaccines. Always good to tie your artwork into the Nazis, I always say. Dozens of community members protested outside the shop on Saturday, with some holding signs that read "No Nazis in Nashville" and "Sell hats, not hate." That's like, you know, as far as signs go for protests, not bad right there. "Sell hats, not hate," not bad. "Sell hats, not Heil." That works too. Okay. Gaskins initially pushed back on the fierce condemnation she received in response to the patches. The store posted statements to Instagram on Friday that defended the merchandising and compared the U.S. government's push to get people vaccinated against COVID-19 to fascism. Ah, always the go-to. "You cannot enter private businesses unless you show your papers!" The store wrote in an Instagram post Saturday, appearing to attack the potential development and implementation of vaccine passports for Americans traveling internationally. Yeah, that you gotta fucking show you've been vaccinated whenever you travel internationally, stupid. Have you never fucking left Nashville, you dumb twat? If you travel to a foreign country, very often you have to get certain shots, and you have to prove that you've gotten those fucking shots. It's not fucking fascism. It's a country not wanting your cootie, you dummy.
Well, it's their country, their rules as well.
Yes, yes, but this one's logic is...
We could discuss it for the chase till the cows come home, but another country, their rules.
Right, but this is apparently what she's protesting. This dumb twat, this dumb fat... No, you're the fucking fascist because you want to put your rules on another country. You can't be... Where's the fucking Peloton? All right.
You know, the funny thing is, the woman uses that star for her plight, which is so you're questioning her judgment with everything else?
I'm not questioning anything. I'm questioning where's my Peloton?
It's a fucking downhill ride, right? Something.
That's a good point.
All I'm saying is get me a Peloton. I gotta go to Nashville. That's all I'm saying. There have been few of any reports of private businesses and other entities requiring patrons to show their COVID-19 vaccine cards for entry, although we did talk about the cruise lines a few minutes ago. "At the least, all unvaccinated people will be segregated from society, marked, and must wear a mask," the store wrote. Oh, boy. "What comes next? There's a historical parallel of fascism to be drawn. We can only fight back to not relive history." Oh, my God. Oh my God, we're trying so you don't fucking die, not fucking hurting you up to have people load you into a fucking gas oven and make you into a lampshade, you dumb twat, you.
That is a totally false equivalence.
But it's not, listen, she's not the only nitwit, as we know. "Public health experts say widespread vaccinations offer the strongest protection against COVID-19 and the best promise to return to normalcy." Listen, if she's fucking normal, I want to be abnormal, please. After issuing the apology Saturday, Gaskins on Sunday appeared to lash out at the negative comments she's received over the patches. "I was willing to put my business on the line to stand up for the freedoms that we still have in our country," stated a post Sunday on the store's Instagram page. "What I didn't expect was to be accused of the very thing I was fighting is because you're a moron." "Was the use of the yellow star insensitivity?" the post continued. "Obviously so to many. Who knew? I've never met a Jew before. What is this World War II you speak of? I had no idea. I just sell hats. What, you're going to make me go to Canada and sell toques? Fascist!"
Christ. Who knew that there would be sensitivity towards this issue?
I had no idea we still had Jews in Nashville. I thought that was taken care of. My bad. Was the use of a yellow star insensitivity to post-Canadian? Obviously so to many, but it doesn't make me the anti-Semite Nazi. No, it doesn't. In a statement Friday, the Anti-Defamation League said it was absolutely disgusted by Hatwork's anti-Semitic hatred. This level of disrespect to the memory of 6 million Jews who were murdered is horrifying, the organization tweeted. Why did you have to gas them when you could have just given them a vaccine? The controversy followed outrage on Tuesday over Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's tweet likening mask wearing and vaccines to treatment during the Holocaust. Top Republicans, including House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California, condemned Greene's shocking comparison. Eventually, let's not let him be a fucking hero. It took him about 5 days to fucking get his balls out of his fucking pussy. Marjorie is wrong, and her intentional decision to compare the horrors of the Holocaust with wearing a mask is appalling, McCarthy said in a statement, eventually, because he was told he really had to. The Holocaust is the greatest... The Holocaust is the greatest atrocity committed in history. The fact that this needs to be stated today is deeply troubling. It does, because you fucking have not removed Marjorie Taylor Greene from the fucking house. Forget about this nitwit in Nashville. Forget about her. Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a congressperson. And they just let her kick her out. And again, much like Donald Trump, to all the people that do Trumpy shit and then bad things happen to them, you're not Donald Trump. You can't do it. One guy gets to get away with all that nonsense. His name is Donald John Trump. He's the guy who gets to get away with it. Marjorie Taylor Greene gets to spout off all this nonsense and nothing happens to her. You're not Marjorie Taylor Greene, you dumb motherfuckers, you. When will you ever learn? I know you put these people up on a pedestal, but they're stupid. But you're stupider. You're stupider. They're stupid, but they figured out how not to get caught.
I'm a little lost here. Who are you talking about? I know you're married, Marjorie Taylor
Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
This woman's relationship with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, stupid. Donald Trump, stupid. The people that follow them and try to imitate them are way more stupid. Apparently, in our society, some people get a pass. Most of us.
I know, but she's. Here's the deal in stupidity, okay?
Hold on, I just love that. Here's the deal in stupidity. Like, we're about to have a State of the Union address. I'm listening.
Here's the deal in stupidity. You have the right to have your opinion.
Sure.
This woman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, has the right to have that opinion.
Sure.
The way they go about it is fucking stupid. Stupid.
Well, Joe, I would even argue that the opinion is stupid, but yes.
But the opinion is up to debate. The opinion is up, you know.
Well, Joe, but here's the difference. Marjorie Taylor Greene is stupid, but she appeals to so much people, she raises money off of it. So she's stupid, but she's lucky, and she's got some of that Teflon Don shit going for her.
Because she's good for the fundraising radical fringe of the right.
Right, fine. But everybody else is not. So everybody else has to deal with the community they live in. So you can't do what Marjorie Taylor Greene does. You can't go to your office and tell your boss you're going to grab women by the pussy. One guy gets to do that. One woman gets to talk about Jewish space lasers and comparing the vaccines to the fucking Holocaust. Everybody else, there's going to be shit, bad shit coming your way. Knock it off, stupid.
You know what? So for those people, this woman in Nashville, you know, they deserve what they get. If you're going to be that way and you do something using the Star of David with that, similar to the Nazis, and you put that, well, that's how we feel. Don't you fucking think of the ramifications for doing this?
But Joe, that's it.
Apparently not.
I think there's a large portion of this country that doesn't know what World War II was, doesn't know what the Nazis were, doesn't know what the Holocaust was.
Then fine. Let them find out off the back of this woman in Nashville. Let them find out that way. You know? Let them find off the back. That's the only way people are going to start to think and use their head.
Well, the thing is that every time this kind of thing comes up, people have to, and I'm grateful that they have to fight against it, because we live in a world now where there are Holocaust deniers. So it's like, whenever this bull, oh God, my power keeps going out. I'm going to cut off any second
now. You pay the bill.
Yeah.
You like to get paid every month to get that way. But
those fussy bastards.
You know what, Pip? You know what, Pip? Then, if that's the case, let them do it off the back of the stupid. You know, let the stupid do the work for you, bringing that to the forefront and looking at the indignity of that. And, you know, you can't fix stupid, but maybe you can learn from it, you know?
Well, She said, I was willing to put my business on the line and stand up for the freedoms that we still have in our country. What I didn't expect was being accused of the very thing I was fighting against. If she was willing to put her business on the line, then why apologize? I mean, shouldn't she stand by what she was saying? If she's really willing to put her business on the line, she should be like, no, I think this is the right thing to do. I think this is absolutely like the Holocaust. I knew exactly what I was doing, and screw Stetson and everybody else who doesn't agree with me. But she's not. She wants to pretend she's a hero, but she doesn't have any courage. She's like, oh shit, they're coming at me, and she fucking folded. She wasn't willing to put her business on the line. It just turns out her business is on the line. She had no idea that she was going to get this backlash. She could not fathom this. So she's not has strong belief in a cause and willing to lay it on the line. She thought she was doing the right thing. Hell, this bitch was going to sell trucker hats.
Yeah, that was next. Great.
You know, if you're in a group of like-minded people and you're like, well, we're going to put this Star of David on it because it's a sign of fascism like the Jews. In that group of people that she had to tell, you know, in that group of people, because she had to tell people of her idea, it's not something that she just sprung. There had to be an idea they had to make. Not one person said, are you out of your fucking mind?
Joe, you can't. Joe.
Right?
I hear what you're saying, but let's take our 45th president. You don't think one person's gone to him and go, sir, you've lost, it's over? No, there's some people you can't talk to. I mean, there's some people you just go, all right, they're going to fucking do it. I tried to tell them. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, listen, at this point, this woman's a moron. Marjorie Taylor Greene's a moron. And I'm going to say here, if you're a supporter of Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're a fucking moron. That's all I can say. Oh, you're lib. No, no. There was a white male conservative preacher, Trumper, loved Donald Trump, you could have fucking voted for. I'm not saying put a liberal in that seat. You could have had a Trumper, a conservative. He just wasn't a fucking moron. But you elected a moron, and I've seen interviews with them, a lot of these people, and they're gonna elect a moron again. I can only assume you're a moron.
Like I said, the only thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene is that Sarah Palin is going, can I get out of the barrel now, please?
She's out. She's out.
You know, like I said, Sarah Palin was an asshole and said stupid shit, but it wasn't, you know, just radicalized.
I can't with these, and they're just growing in stature. This country is so fucked. So fucked. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's fun when it's the Nashville woman who sells hats. It's a fun little story we do in Nazi news. It's fucking scary when it's a sitting congresswoman. It's just fucking weird. All right. Let's do an outstanding display of spite. Actually, you know what? You know what? Let's not do an outstanding display of spite. Let's fucking hold that for next week. That's what we're gonna do.
I'm tired.
You're
old. Long day.
All right. So let's take our last break, and we'll do some scamming scammers. We'll find out the fallout from that from the numerous telephone calls. On the break, we have new music from Christopher Taylor with "By My Side." I got to get that queued up there, and and Graham Davey with "Fear." So let me get that queued up for you folks. Short break, and then come back. So here you go.